Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm your host, Dave Custy. Today we have Maxine Taylor, a visual artist, visiting us. Maxine's a native of California. She moved to Maryland more than 40 years ago when she began to paint seriously, first in watercolor, then subsequently acrylic and mixed media. Active in the D.C. art scene as a member of the Studio Gallery from 1991 to 97, she is now a resident here in Baltimore, where she was represented by the Montage Gallery from 2003 to 2010. She's worked with collections in California, Florida, New York, and Maryland, including 18 paintings in the George Meany Center for Labor Studies, formerly in Silver Spring, Maryland. She continues to exhibit in both California and Maryland. She was instrumental in the creation of Passageways Artist Studios in Riverdale, Maryland, and a participant in the formalization of the Artist Gallery in Columbia, Maryland, before moving to her current studio here in Baltimore. She participated in the 2013 Artscape Gallery Network, one of five showcase galleries, as a gallerist showcasing 10 other artists' work along with her own. Although she continues to exhibit and paint, she also became involved with organizing exhibit opportunities for both herself and others. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Maxine Taylor, visual artist, and also Tiffany Church, her assistant. Thank you.
Thank you
for coming here.
Good to have you here, yeah.
So Maxine, after that, tell me a little bit about yourself in your own words.
I'll tell you about a recent find of mine. I have a large collection of large canvases from before I moved to Baltimore. By moving to Baltimore and sort of changing my base, I lost track of these paintings, and now I am stretching them, and they're actually all bigger than I am, and it's kind of nice to have some large paintings around my studio. They're on raw canvas. They're black. They are abstract expressionist work, and they're full of space, which I have a little difficulty in keeping in my paintings. I tend to overwork some of my paintings, and I'm going to use these as a guide to get back to more space.
When did you do them?
Oh, I did these in 94, 97.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about how you got interested in painting.
When I first moved to Maryland, I was not painting as an artist. I have a tendency to draw designs, but I've never been a sketcher, so I didn't identify myself as an artist, but I always was interested in it. So I took some classes, and I just some basic classes, painting, drawing, design. And I met an instructor in my drawing class who was a watercolorist. And I liked the way he enabled me to get in touch with my painting self. So I started taking classes with him, and I learned to paint in watercolor. I painted in watercolor for about 10 or 20 years, painting landscape, painting outdoors. When I realized that these landscapes were not powerful enough, were not communicating everything that I felt I had to communicate, I started looking around at abstract artists, trying to figure out how to get there. I went to museums, read books on the abstract expressionists. I mean, that's pretty much where I was focusing. And I developed over the course of maybe 10 years a basic understanding of how to express myself. I did watercolor for a long time with the abstracts, and then I realized I couldn't paint large enough on paper without having to deal with framing, so I started trying to paint on canvas. And then that involved acrylic paint. I'm actually painting today. I'm painting with acrylic and watercolor on canvas and Sumi ink and pastel. It's called mixed media when you put all these things together. And it actually is becoming acceptable to me as a means of expression. I'm still having this problem with overworking. I don't want to say overworking. I have this problem with not stopping when a painting is done, possibly done.
I think that's a common problem, because a good friend of mine is a painter, too. And I would literally have to say, I think it's done now. It's finished. It looks great. It's finished. No. I've got this to do, and I've got, no. You see that up there? No. I thought, boy, you know, I guess it's tough you know, when you've done this work and then you think, well, it still needs a little bit more, or maybe it's...
We've had a few of those recently. Yeah. I think there were a couple, and I think Maxine's getting more comfortable with knowing when it's over and when it's done. And sometimes, you know, you have to step back, leave it for a little bit, and she'll come back to it. Either way, I mean, the ones I've seen, they turn out to be really amazing and very interesting paintings, because, I mean, she can tell you more about that, how she pours herself into that, you know? And right. I guess it's like a sieve or something. When you're done, you're done.
Well, when I start a painting, I start from a feeling. I never have an idea of where I'm going, and I will put on some music that will block the left side of my brain from interfering, and I will start painting, and after a couple of hours, maybe I will have exhausted that muse, and then I will stop, and sometimes I'll wait as long as 5 years before I can come back to that painting and decide whether it's finished, where it's going, what I need to do with it. I mean, some paintings, it takes 10 years.
But are there paintings that take 10 minutes that you know off the bat? Just boom, up? No, none of that?
No.
Well, you're up on North Madeira Street, right? So right. Do you get inspiration by the neighborhood? Do you walk around the park or anything like that? Because it's gorgeous around
here. When I first moved here, that's an interesting thought. When I first moved here, I was painting these black and white paintings that I'm just now restretching. I had a couple that I was actually in the actively painting because I knew they weren't done. Very soon, they ended up with these little squares and rectangles in the paintings. And after a while, I realized that I was being impacted by the row houses. I'm from the country in a suburban area, and I've never lived in a city, and these row houses were having an impact on me. And so I decided to investigate. So I started painting row houses. I didn't stand in front of a row house and paint it. The row houses came out on paper. I went back to watercolor, and the show that's in Charmed Life Gallery and Tattoo Studio is about the work that I did when I moved to Baltimore 16 years ago. Row houses, just portraits of row houses. And there was another group of paintings I did at almost the same time, which were black acrylic on watercolor paper that were figurative, that were easily identifiable as people and places, children, streets, corners, trucks, cars, you know, the things that were around me. I never exhibited those works back then. The row houses I did, and they sold, but I never exhibited the black and white figurative paintings. I didn't realize how strong they were until many years later. Now I'm promoting them with abandon, and they're starting to sell.
Very good. So I'd like to go back a bit, though. I'd like to go back where you started. You grew up in California, that's right?
Right.
Was there a moment or some time, and don't mean to put you on the spot here, that you know you wanted to be an artist?
No, I didn't really understand what being an artist was. I didn't know any artists. I'd never been to art school. I admit I took painting in high school, and I didn't think I was good enough, so I gave it up.
But then what happened? How did you get back into it?
I moved to Maryland.
And how did that come about? What was the decision to make Maryland your place to come?
My husband had been in school for a few years to get his degree, and he got a job in Maryland. I went along, and I had been working since I left college. So I basically been working since I was about 18, and with a couple of breaks to have children. And I had my own business for 10 years as a craftsperson. I taught macrame when I first came here because nobody knew about macrame. And then I opened a store, or took over a store that was a craft shop. And about that time, about 84, I started taking the classes that I mentioned earlier. And gradually I evolved into a serious artist. I accepted the fact that I was an artist. I was recommended to rent a studio at Savage Mill. And I was then in the company of other artists, and I learned the business of art, promoting, writing bios, writing resumes, seeking exhibition opportunities.
Doing all the marketing and PR
stuff. Marketing, right. But the marketing and the PR, now I said I was working all those years. I worked until 2 years ago when I retired. And the marketing I've been doing, the PR I've been doing, and that Tiffany has been helping me do, I started in earnest 2 years ago. And I went out and started meeting people. When I moved here, I never could connect with the artists in Baltimore. I was part of an arts gallery in D.C. I had made a lot of progress, and then I needed to have a studio by myself instead of being in a cooperative studio. And I put my house on the market and looked around in the area, D.C., Virginia, Maryland, Frederick, Baltimore. I looked for a space that had had dirt. I needed a garden, had a large open space that I needed. I wanted high ceilings. I didn't get high ceilings, but I got everything else I wanted.
Good light and everything.
A good light, yes. I put in skylights so I would have good light.
There you go.
I actually found, someone else actually found this old stable in Baltimore that was marketed as an artist's dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I came and looked at it. I was working in Hyattsville at the time, and I had to decide whether or not I would consider driving from Hyattsville to Baltimore, or Baltimore to Hyattsville. And I decided I would do it because the studio was big. It was by myself. I could live in it. I sold my house, dropped the price so it would sell, and I rehabbed the stable and moved in.
So this is North Madera Street.
Right.
And how long have you been there?
Since 97. I lost track of exactly how many years.
If Barbie were an artist, she'd be jealous.
Oh, really? It's a dream house?
It's a dream house. It's a beautiful studio.
That's great. So you're on, I think, what is it, 126 is north?
Right.
So that's about just above Baltimore Street, is that right?
Or
Fayette?
Yeah.
Fairmount Avenue, is it?
Between Fayette and Fairmount. It's on the corner of Butcher's. It's in the northeast corner of Butcher's Hill neighborhood.
So then you're pretty happy there. You think you're going to stay there for a while? You've been there 16 years.
Well, I don't think I could find anything else quite so perfect unless I raise the roof and make it higher ceilings.
Or buy next door or something.
Well, there's no next door.
Oh, okay. That's
I think nice. It's the only cypress tree that I've seen in the area. There's
really?
A cypress tree in the front of it.
Yeah, I kept the trees that volunteered on the property. I mean, it was just grass and weeds when I first moved there. But I eventually cut down all the extra trees that like to grow and planted a few that I had an interest in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like seeing what was going on in the alley at the garage, and so I planted this cypress tree where it would block my view of that. Now I can't see what's going on, but that was the whole point, I remind myself.
So do you have space in the backyard and nice days in the summer to go out and put your canvas out there?
Yeah, people think my front yard is my backyard. I have no backyard. Oh. I have a right-of-way and everybody's backyard on Collington that's behind me.
Right.
And I'm attached to an electrical harnessing company on the south end, which is on Lamley Street and Collington Street.
Let's talk about your current exhibit now, New Faces of Baltimore Street Life. Tell me about the history of that and how you got it at the John Life Gallery right now as we speak.
Well, I decided that it wouldn't be amiss to start redoing row houses. I resisted for a long time. I know they were very popular, and you could sell a row house almost no matter what if you painted them, and they were at the right price. But I just resisted it because I had sold off the ones I had done from 98, and I didn't think I could be natural about it. So I decided that I put a lot of row houses in my abstract work And I put a lot of these figures from the 97 paintings into the abstract work. So I decided it was not a compromise to do row houses again. So last year I painted quite a few row houses. I like to paint more than I need so I can pick and choose the best ones. I was exhibiting them in a gift shop called The Gift Cellar on Harford Road. Someone from the Charmed Life Gallery came down and saw them and said that they'd like to offer me a show. So I did.
How long are you going to be there? I can look it up, but I'm going to ask
through
you.
December. No, through the end of December, 28th of December.
28th, okay.
Yeah.
That's very good. And it's, you opened it, on the 3rd, is that right? Or the?
It started on the 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's their hours are 12 to 8. Tuesday through Saturday.
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the neighborhood. You've been here 16 years. What is it you like about Fells Point, Butchers Hill?
I like the neighbors. I like the community spirit. I like the way everybody is there for everybody, just about. If you need help, you can ask for it. If you want to offer help, you can offer help.
I like the idea that there's a lot of things in walking distance, too. Whether you go down to Canton, too, and you can go down to the foot of Fells Point. But there's plenty of places to go, just in, like, you have a microcosm of an entire city around here.
Yeah, there is. There's lots of restaurants, lots of entertainment. The more I've gotten involved with the other artists, the more outgoing I've become with visiting and attending other functions. For years, I didn't go any place except to work, and I came home and stayed home and painted. I painted more when I was working, but I'm getting back to that again.
Is there anything that you would like to do and you haven't done?
Well, first, I want to be painting regularly. I haven't been painting regularly for a while, at a minimum of 3 hours a day. I can produce a lot of work if I focus on painting instead of promotion. But I needed some place for the artwork to go, so I didn't really want to just keep painting without having an outlet for it. I'm working on organizing a group of artists for purposes of creating a proposal of a group exhibition. We're in the process of deciding what we want to focus on. Mm-hmm. The group, it's a very strong group. We need to decide what a common thread would be, so we've decided to go after something I'm not prepared to say what it is, so I guess I'll stop there.
That's what they call a teaser, right? to be continued.
Right. We will spread it far and wide once we have a focus.
Can you name any of the other artists that are involved?
Yes, I can. There's Pat Dennis Giroux, Jessica Damon, Annie Sullivan, Annie Farrar. And this Saturday, I'm having at a holiday open house with some of those same people. Plus, Megan Diamond is a silversmith who will have a studio in conjunction with mine on Saturday. So we'll both have artists at our studio. It'll be from 11 to 5, and there'll be lots of interesting gift-type items.
Right. Well, since this is recorded, we're going to say it's Saturday, what is that, December the 14th, right?
Right.
So if anybody hears it after that, it's already happened. Okay, is there anything you want to add, Maxine?
Within the next 5 years, I'd like to be recognized in the D.C. Baltimore area. I'd like to have work in galleries, in selected galleries throughout the U.S. I'm going to work on the Art and Embassies program. I'd like to have some of these large works involved in that program. And I'd like to expand Max Gallery, which was started in the summer with the Artscape Gallery Network. And I have to decide how I want to use it, what kind of meetings, what kind of exhibits, what kind of, you know, poetry readings, music events. I still have to figure that out. And I have people who are helping me figure that out. I find that I like working with a group to make these things happen.
Well, I would like you to come back and give us an update how that's going and how this group that you're forming with this event Saturday will be, if you're open to that.
I'd be happy to.
Terrific. Okay, why don't you give some contact info, how people can reach you?
My email is maxine@maxinetaylorfinearts.com. My website is maxinetaylorfinearts.com. You can send contact information from the website.
And all of the social media buttons are there if you want to check out the YouTube, Twitter, Facebook feeds.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank Maxine Taylor, visual artist, and her assistant, Tiffany Church. But before we go, I want to talk to Tiffany a second, who tells me that she's an author. I want to just get a little bit about that as her eyes widen and she's all... Tell me about that, Tiffany.
This is not my show.
Oh, it's everybody's show.
I've been a writer all my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and basically that's what I do with Maxine. I enjoy helping her author her blog and such. And I took those skills from my graduate courses in writing. And in 2005 and 2008, I decided to publish my memoirs.
Oh,
such a young age. And I mean, those were really a joy for me. You know, writing is just something that I can't imagine not doing. And right now, in between assisting Maxine with all of her work and her rising star, you know, I'm finishing up my first fiction manuscript.
Yeah.
It's actually science fiction because I've been an avid fan. And ironically enough, Maxine reads a lot of science fiction.
Does she? Yeah.
She does. Well, she loves a lot of different books.
You're perfectly suited then, not just on one level, huh?
It seems we are. It seems we are. But I had wanted to mention, it was funny because I can vouch for what she said about the Butcher's Hill neighborhood because I just happen to live like three doors away.
Oh, do you? So you're conveniently located.
Yeah,
we
met on the street, on our street, in the rain in May of 2010 when she had first launched Maxine Taylor Fine Arts. And it was an amazing connection. And I can say that, you know, she's been very supportive of what I do for my art as well. She's actually read my books. Did I autograph them for you?
Sure.
I have three of her paintings, you know, in my home. So it's been a great partnership. And I promise you someday I'll come back and then we can talk about my art.
It'll be about you.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming here on Baltimore Internet Radio. This is Dave Custy. You've been listening to visual artist Maxine Taylor and her assistant Tiffany J. Church. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you.